last night. No surprise where we'll be today. Luke chapter 7. As mentioned last night, the three messages that I've been asked to bring and that I've prepared are flowing in a series, so they'll be connected. And right off the bat, again, coming off of last night, I want to thank you, church, so much for your hospitality as we were coming off the intensity of that road trip. I'm so grateful to be able to do this and present three messages that are interconnected. And so we'll see some overlap. From last night, we were in Luke chapter 7, and we looked at verses 18 to 23 with the theme of, are we to look for another? I mentioned how basically the Lord's laid on my heart three messages here that I've officially titled the what, the so what, and the now what. Last night you got the what, which was Jesus saves. Today we get the so what. So get baptized. So we're going to talk about baptism today. And for the last message I have, now what, will be now go serve. So we're going to talk about these things. By the way, last night I threw a little surprise in there and added an invitational song at the end. So I figured tonight, since we're talking about baptism, as soon as I'm done, anyone who's not baptized yet, we're just going to open right up and throw y'all in there. So,
that'd be cold.
Just kidding. I'll try to minimize the surprises for y'all. Except for my poor wife, she never knows what I'm going to do. Oh, the joys.
Better for worse.
Yes. One of the things that struck me about last night's passage, again, this will lead into today's, is the poor had the gospel preached to them. Conversation last night after the message, someone pointed out, well, we see, okay, from verse 22, those who were blind got sight, those who limped were able to walk, people who had leprosy were cleansed, people who were deaf were able to hear, dead people were raised up, people who were poor were given checks. No. He said, wait a minute, I'd be feeling a little chipped here. This is a conversation I have with someone else. This is their point. It was a great point. So what riches were they given? The gospel was preached to them.
Amen.
Well, what price could you put on that? So the theme for today, after last night's theme of are we to look for another, the theme for today is least in the kingdom of God is greater. And I'm not going to be here that long. the final message, love to, but the final message will be forgiven much, love much. So we'll get to all that. Here in Luke chapter 7, let's pick up where we left off in verse 24. Luke 7, 24. When the messengers of John had left, he began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Those who are splendidly clothed and live in luxury are found in royal palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and one who is more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. Verse 28. I say to you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. We'll pause right here. John the Baptist was still alive. This isn't saying John the Baptist isn't going to be in the kingdom. John the Baptist was still alive. He wasn't in the kingdom of heaven yet. John the Baptist was the greatest on earth. Yet even greater than being greatest on earth, even to be considered least in the kingdom of heaven, is far greater than that. So how does that happen? And we'll get to that. So verse 29. When all the people and the tax collectors heard this, they acknowledged God's justice, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected God's purpose for themselves, not having been baptized by John. And that was their free will choice, which is important. So verse 31, Jesus says, to what then shall I compare the people of this generation? And what are they like? They are like children who sit in the marketplace, call to one another and say, we played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a song of mourning, and you did not weep. For John the Baptist has come neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, he has a demon. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a glutton and a heavy drinker, friend of tax collectors and sinners. And yet, wisdom is vindicated by all her children. In verse 31, when Jesus says, what shall I compare the people of this generation? And what are they like? My thinking is, have you seen today's generation? You know, you're not conforming to us. We're doing this, and you're not coming along. We're doing that. You're not coming along. It's like when I say jump, you're supposed to say how high. Everyone wants the world to conform to them, right? The beautiful thing he says at the end here in verse 35, wisdom vindicated by her children, or as Matthew 11 records, by her deeds, by the results, by the fruits. We see which way is right by the results of it, known by their fruits. So we're going to talk about a lot of things here, but I want to let that passage from Luke 7, 24 to 35 kind of marinate with us for a bit as I bring up some thoughts. So thank you, Brother Richard, for that devotional on being content. I could have used that a couple weeks ago. Leading up to this meeting, just to bring you up to speed on life with the Coopers, a little bit before the meeting, we have a house in Tehachapi we used to live in, we rent out now. We got word that the bathtub upstairs, the seal broke on it and flooded the downstairs laundry room, had to get an emergency team in there to extract water and all that stuff.
Oh, no.
On a separate note, completely separate note, the tenants put in their notice, they're leaving. There was that. Then last Tuesday, I have a wonderful call with Pastor Cliff. He calls me on my drive home, and we're talking. And right as I'm pulling up to my house, our daughter's house is across the street, right as I'm pulling up to the house on the phone with Brother Cliff, saying my goodbyes, I look and I see the AC man coming out of Alyssa's house. And it's not good news. So I say my goodbyes to him, go talk to him. And less than 48 hours later, which was actually 1 week ago today, in our little cul-de-sac, we have a big crane lifting up this thousands of dollars worth of AC unit to go put on my daughter's roof. That was fun. Oh, I almost forgot. And then I got a call for jury duty.
Oh.
Guess which week? Camp week.
Oh, no.
How are you guys doing? I say all this and I know these are just what we call first world problems, right? And I think about it, and I appreciate so much the men and the ministers as we were praying before tonight. So many of you might be going through things that are so much more urgent and significant than any of my things that are so trivial in the grand scheme of things. The beautiful thing is the same Lord is Lord of all and is there and able to take care of everything,
amen,
every bit of it. And that is the source of our contentment and our faith and our trust. It has been said before that sometimes the measure of how great something is all the hurdles on the way to it. So I told my wife, wow, this is going to be a great meeting.
Amen.
Right on. I mentioned the themes across my messages last night that we have a new birth to rejoice in. Tonight we see with baptism, we have a new home to belong in, to belong to. Thank you so much for 1 Corinthians 12. We'll touch on that. And the last one on Saturday, we'll see that as we serve, we have a new identity to live out. And again, with all these messages, I pray that the urgency of God's heart comes through in all of these, that we all recognize we're not worthy of any of it, but in the eyes of God, we are each and every one of us worth it. Now, last night's passage in the first few verses there with John the Baptist in the prison and the questions being asked, I mentioned not a technical textbook salvation passage, but I couldn't help be struck by the imagery of being in prison, just like sin puts us in the bondage of prison. And we seek out from that prison, and Jesus is the one. We have no need to look for another. Here we have a baptism passage where, hey, we do talk about baptism. Okay, cool. What do we see about baptism here? We can follow God's purpose and rejoice. Baptism is equated with God's purpose. Let's look again. Verse 28. When all the people and the tax collectors heard this, they acknowledged God's justice, having been baptized with the baptism of John. Verse 30, but the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected God's purpose for themselves, not having been baptized by John. Again, it was a free will choice, but they missed out on God's purpose. So we find God's purpose through baptism, but as these Pharisees and lawyers, in their choice, sadly, it's true for any one of us today. The fact is, and I'm living proof of this, we will not find God's purpose for ourselves outside of baptism and the Lord's church.
Right.
And we'll talk about this some, the church body membership. Discovering God's kingdom purpose for your life is greater than anything that can happen to you on earth. After you're being saved from hell, of course. That kingdom service, baptism is the gateway leading to that bridal city kingdom, where we'll talk about the connection here. I want to continually keep the running connection between the messages, bring salvation into this. Because if we don't appreciate the before and after of our salvation, from that guilty sentence of death to an innocent new birth, if we don't fully grasp that, we're not going to understand baptism into a new family home for that new life to be brought to. The challenge is, sometimes in our thinking, we might not consciously say that, but we can kind of default to this. Well, if I'm already saved for eternity, and that's secure, I've looked to the Lamb of God. I have rejoiced in the victory in Jesus. Why do I need to keep that salvation fresh and urgent? It's not going anywhere. I think of it this way. There's a Japanese proverb I heard long ago that basically says you live twice, once when you're born, then once when you look death in the face. They say that because when someone survives an accident, they have a newfound appreciation for being alive.
Mm-hmm.
When they know they very easily could not have been. Even if there wasn't an accident, but almost was, a near miss, you realize how close you were to death. Isn't it funny how you suddenly realize few precious things that matter and just how much of everything else really doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Salvation isn't just a waking up from a slumber. It's rising up from the dead. I was dead in my sins. Now I'm alive under Christ. It's a new lease on life. So a new recognition and appreciation of what matters and what doesn't. And what do we do with that? That's the what, now to the so what. How do we follow through with this? How do we honor this? How do we live according to this? And I thought about this. Despite all the things we go through and deal with, despite all of life's heartbreaks, the setbacks, the challenges, every day we wake up alive and breathing is a good day.
Amen.
Every day we wake up, still saved from hell, is a great day. But we need these reminders, and I actually wrote this down. I think what I at least need, don't know about you all, but it'll probably be good for me, put two little placards on my nightstand so that when I wake up, these are the first thing my eyeballs see. First one says, breathe. So I wake up, breathe? Okay. You're welcome, God. Oh yeah, okay, that helps, perspective. And the other one, yes, today you are still saved, now go live like it. Oh yeah, okay, that helps. Again, if we don't appreciate the before and after salvation, that guilty sentence of death to innocent new birth, we're not going to fully grasp baptism into a new family home for that newly born life. I talked last night about being wronged by a sin-infected world. What do we often do when we're wronged? We overcompensate. I did. A little bit about my baptism testimony. and how I got there, how the Lord brought me there. For longer than I care to admit, even after being saved, so much of my early life was spent indulging myself, a hatred at the expense of too many others in my life. To be completely honest, I didn't like myself. So I didn't take care of myself. I didn't have it within me. Even though I was saved, I had no foundation, no grounding, no purpose, no direction, no lasting value. Can any of you relate? Have you ever been there? Join me in Psalm 37. Well, you can keep a place in Luke. Let's go to Psalm 37. Again, God's truths are eternal. Old Testament, New Testament, His desire, His love, His plan. In Psalm 37, we'll pull out a couple sections, starting in verse 3. And I can relate my journey from salvation to baptism through some of the things said in these Psalms here we're going to look at. And I kind of have a picture here. It's just like Israel went from the Passover to eventually the nation went to cross the Jordan to the Promised Land. For a saved person who's not yet baptized, you've had your Passover experience, the blood of the Lamb applied, but you're in your wilderness journey until you go through the baptism of waters to the Promised Land, which I'll say on this earth is the church. The Lord's church on earth is the closest thing we're going to get to that eternal Promised Land until our Heavenly Lord comes down and establishes His reign on this earth, which is going to be pretty cool. Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Action there. Live in the land and cultivate faithfulness. I love that phrase. More action there. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him and He will do it. That's one of the main differences between baptism and salvation. So baptism is a commitment. It's a vow. Salvation is a gift. Beautiful, precious gift. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust Him. He will do it. Skip down to verse 23. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be hurled down, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. I have been young, and now I am old. Yes, Bagumi, I'm 54 years old. We have that conversation. 54 is not old. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his descendants begging for bread. Have we been on this earth long enough to see, wow, the Lord really is faithful. Even when He doesn't do things the way we would want or expect, when we stay with Him, He sees us through every single time. And talking about the steps of a man, baptism is the first step. After receiving a gift, which you are free to live your life, do whatever you want with it, nothing you do after that will change or affect that salvation. It's a gift. The first step, if you are have any interest in steps toward the Lord and a life with the Lord, finding your purpose in the Lord, that first step is baptism. And we'll talk about that. Skip down to verse 37, just the one verse. This is a very interesting one. Observe the blameless person and look at the upright, for the person of peace will have a future. Praise God and thank God that we have godly examples of men and women who blameless. How are we blameless in the sight of God? Through repentance and grace and forgiveness. We keep an ongoing lifestyle of that. We are blameless in His sight by His grace and mercy. And it's so wonderful that we have living examples, men and women, of this that we can look to and observe and see the results of their lives and say, yeah, that's what I want. My first pastor once said, you want what I have, do what I do. So thank God we have those examples. Let's go to Psalm 73. Would be tempting to read the whole psalm, but for time's sake we won't. Let's start in verse 16. If we go down to verse 16 of Psalm 73, we see the psalmist having a struggle. and not understanding why he's seeing what he's seeing. The first 15 verses are fascinating stuff, and maybe you'll find you can relate. Wow, I'm sitting here looking in, the bad guys are winning. They're getting off scot-free. They're getting fat and living luxurious lives. Well, I'm here struggling, trying to make it work, and I'm not seeing the results. Verse 16. When I thought of understanding this, it was troublesome in my sight until I entered the sanctuary of the Lord. Then I perceived their end. All of a sudden, things made sense when you came to God's house. Yes, praise God. Guess what? They make even more sense after baptism and commitment and following in the steps of the faith. Absolutely. Skip down to 21. When my heart was embittered and I was pierced within, then I was stupid and ignorant. I was like an animal before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You have taken hold of my right hand. You will guide me with your plan, and afterward receive me to glory. That is that bridal city kingdom we'll be talking about. I love in verse 22, I was stupid and ignorant. I'm old and I can look back and I can say, I was stupid and ignorant. But nevertheless, I am continually with you. Amen, Pastor Cliff. Tenses matter in the Bible very, very much. So yeah, here's present tense, ongoing. Beautiful, beautiful. Praise God that past is past when we come before Him. I got plenty of new mistakes to make. I don't want to relive the old ones. Verse 25. Whom do I have in heaven but you? And with you, I desire nothing on earth. You want to talk about contentment? Yeah. I pray that you and I, every single one of us, can read that verse, can take that verse to heart and say, yes, that is me right there. I have found myself in that. Got no one in heaven but Lord, and besides Him, I desire nothing on this earth. Least in the kingdom of heaven, greater than anything on this earth. Anyone on this earth. 26. My flesh or my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you will perish. You destroyed those who are unfaithful to you. Verse 28. But as for me, the nearness of God is good for me. Or is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, so that I may tell of all your works. Sometimes I refer to the Psalms as therapy sessions for the psalmists. I see them start the psalm one way and they end another. Mm-hmm. And I love how this psalm, and an example is, the man's frustrated with what he sees in the world, comes to God's house. Oh, I get it now. I see, I was the one who was dumb and stupid and, what do you say, stupid and ignorant back then. Now I get it. Now I rejoice. Now the Lord is my refuge. I don't care what's going on around me. I've got Him. And He's the one I'm going to be talking about. Not going to be complaining about the world around me. Well, I still do that. Psalm 116, just two verses. Psalm 116. Verses 18 and 19 of Psalm 116. Psalm 116, verse 18, I will pay my vows to the Lord. May it be in the presence of all His people, in the courtyards of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Here again, baptism is a vow, it's a commitment, and a joyful thing to be amongst God's people, in His house, and celebrating this, rejoicing in this. Joy in the baptismal vow, in the church body membership, and that's what we're going to come back to. Becoming a baptized local church member is like going from rescued civilians on the shores of heaven to now being enlisted men and women in His service. I'm so grateful for my military experience because it gives me something to relate to serving in the Lord's church. As men and women in His service, we have access to the Commander-in-Chief's base headquarters, the Bridal City Kingdom. Again, it's proclaimed, least in the kingdom is greater than anything on earth. We see baptism as a beautiful gateway to gain access to that. We go from being patriots through our baptism to being wearers of the uniform, bearing His emblem and not our own. back to my baptismal testimony. For Ashley and Alyssa's sake, I realized I now had someone to live for besides myself. I had to learn to be better for myself for their sakes, so I could figure it out on my own. So, as some have heard our testimony before, I had Catholic upbringing as a child, joined the Navy, started visiting Pentecostal churches, Ashley Southern Baptist, so us coming together and church shopping was great. So what happens? We end up visiting this mission, it's not even a church yet, this mission in Tehachapi after having moved cross country from back east. And they're not even in a church building, they're meeting in the senior center in a bingo hall. There's this guy behind a pulpit, and behind him is a big bingo board. I'm thinking, do I say amen or bingo? And on top of that is this big clock with a Pepsi logo on it. I'm like, okay. And we'd visit and come back home. Well, that was different. Yeah, you want to go back? Yeah. One service, May of 1999. In that Beat Senior Center bingo hall with the board and the Pepsi clock, it just hit me. I got to do this. I need to do this. I stepped forward, came forward to join the mission that wasn't even a church yet. Not knowing if Ashley was going to follow behind me. That was her choice. I had to do this regardless, because I knew I wasn't enough. They deserved more for me, and God was the answer. And he had provided this place. And a whole bunch of churches had worked together to provide that place on that mountain where we could come. That, and then she, oh, just for the record, she did come fall. spoiler alert, she's here. It was 25 years ago this May that the Tehachapi Church Mission threw together, after a two-week engagement, our wedding. And after that, on June 6th, we were baptized, 25 years ago. So this last May, we celebrated our 25th anniversary with our home church now, the Tulare Church. And thinking of the journey from coming, stepping forward for baptism, to be able to get married, and look where we are in celebrating our anniversary with our home church now, these 25 years of journey, it hit me. Our marriage was founded on seeking and serving God together. Yeah, for what we probably wouldn't last it. But it's true. She has to deal with me. I get it. But here's the point. Anything we are going through, anything we are seeking, anything we are desiring can be found in God and finding his purpose for our lives. Just as if we just submit ourselves and follow him, trust him that he knows far more than we do, far better than we do. He loves us far more than we could ever love ourselves or the ones we love. He loves my wife and my daughter more than I do. He knows that what's best, what I can do best for them better than I can figure out on my own. Yeah, finding God's purpose for your life, nothing on earth compares, brother. Every night, I now come home to the one and only bride with whom I belong. The church body is described as a bride preparing herself for Christ. John the Baptist described himself as the best man. Have you found the one true spiritual home where you truly belong? We can follow God's purpose for our life and rejoice. Baptism, again, equated with God's purpose, the start of it. I guarantee we will not find God's purpose for our lives outside of baptism into the Lord's church, family, and household. Discovering God's kingdom purpose for your life is greater than anything else on earth. For the record, I want to say again, the lawyers and the Pharisees turning down baptism had zero impact on their eternal salvation if they hadn't. But boy, what they missed out on. I can't imagine my life any different. is your saved spirit telling your unbaptized soul, you have to do this. You need to do this. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the body and being parts, and the church in Tulare knows, my favorite verse, I quote it all the time, 1 Corinthians 12:18. God places or arranges the members or the parts of the body just as he desires, just as he sees fit. I tell the church all the time, if you're not 100%, if you're already a member here, if you're not 100% sure that this is where God has for you, I'd rather you figure out God's will, if that, even if that means you being somewhere else, mm-hmm. than you being here, not 100% sure this is it. Amen. Be 100% sure. God wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Not only does he want to save every single one of us from hell and forgive our sins, he has a church home and a family for us to be baptized into. Every single one of us. Not only does he have a new birth for us to rejoice in, he has a new home church family for us to belong to through that baptism as we look forward to his kingdom to come. Will we be like the generation of children, complaining and expecting everyone and everything to conform to us? Will we come to follow and find God's will, God's purpose through what he has provided? Will wisdom be vindicated by your deeds, by mine? Our deeds, our fruits, the results. Whatever we may try to be, however we may try to be great in this world, there is nothing greater than being even least in God's kingdom. And again, God's local church family is the closest thing we're going to get to that till he comes back. I met many, just from my experience last night, I bet there are many who could testify right here and now to it being a baptized member of Old Landmark Church, Missionary Baptist Church means to them, and how they have found God's purpose for their life through this church family, which is an incredible one. Anyone here that's not a baptized member of this church who's local to this area, I pray you seek and consider. He didn't pay me anything to say this. I tell our visitors, I'd love to have you join. That's not my call. No one here wants to get in the way of God's will for you, whatever, wherever that is. I know this is an incredible church family to belong to. Pray about it. See what the Lord leads. Don't miss out on God's purpose for your life. It has eternal consequences. Discover a new home to belong with for your reborn, born-again life. See, be a part of the family of God. Rejoice in God having a purpose for your life. Discover it, enjoy it, thrive in it, live in it. We can sing a song if we want. We don't have to. But that's what I have to share with you. And I pray that the Lord's word has blessed. And I pray that his spirit has led. And that each and every one of us is drawn just a little bit closer to the love of God for us, his desire for us, his will for us. And the fact that he is with us and desiring us and leading us. And is with us every step of our way. You can sing.